CBS News Update, I'm Steve Knight. More than 5 hours and still no electricity in New York City and much of the East.
Today our country, a major portion of our country, was affected by a rolling blackout.
President Bush tells reporters in San Diego that he's working with federal officials to make sure the government's response is quick and thorough.
This was not a terrorist act.
Canadian authorities blame a lightning strike on a power plant near Niagara Falls for causing the blackout. Tom Puckett from WBEN in Buffalo checked it out.
A National Weather Service meteorologist says there was no lightning anywhere near Western New York, not near Buffalo, not near Niagara Falls, New York, or Niagara Falls, Ontario, for that matter. A meteorologist with the National Weather Service says the closest they could find lightning by using radar and observations was the Chicago area.
New York's mayor says it will be several hours before power can be restored. Until then, it's the darkest night in New York City since the last blackout in 1977.
Convenience stores all through Midtown Manhattan doing a booming business. Some of them, for security reasons, aren't letting customers inside the stores. Instead, they're blocking customers at the door and bringing beer and water and other items out to the customers outside on the sidewalk.
CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick. The outage reaches into Ontario and as far west as Cleveland. New York Governor George Pataki says more than half the state lost power. CBS News Update. I'm Steve Knight.
This is Derek Williams. Pepco, Dominion Power, BG&E, and Allegheny all report no outages in our area. The news is not so good for travelers. Airport shuttle service from our area to New York has been put on hold for now. If you had plans to fly to New York or other cities affected by the blackout, check with your carrier. Amtrak says its trains from Union Station are not going all the way to New York. If you're calling New York or other cities affected by the outages by cell phone, you might experience some occasional busy signals, but phone companies say keep trying. Derek Williams, WTOP Radio.
WTOP News Time, 9:33. Joining us live now is Michael Gent, President and CEO of the North American Electric Reliability Council, an organization that monitors the electrical system in the U.S. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
Why do you think, first off, right out the gates, this blackout was so widespread?
We're going to be looking into that. This is something that should not have happened. The system is designed to prevent this sort of thing from happening, as one of your newscasters said. We last had something like this in 1977. We had something like this in 96 in the West Coast, and it's not supposed to happen.
Now, the president said tonight the electrical grid would need to be modernized. Do you agree with the president? And if so, what do you think needs to be done?
Well, I think that we probably need more data made available to the people that operate the system and more advanced techniques on how to analyze that data to be able to indicate what possible problems lie ahead.
Now, from your purview, this situation, I guess we kind of, even though it was widespread, we kind of lucked out. This could have been a whole lot worse.
Well, it wasn't supposed to happen at all, so I hate to think that we lucked out. It incorporated included the entire area around the Great Lakes. So it went as far west as Detroit and the surrounding area. All of that's starting to come back now, so when we get it all put back into service, the next step will be to analyze, determine what happened, and fix whatever it is so that it won't happen again.
And we understand it looks like a lightning strike in Niagara Falls is what possibly caused this?
I don't know where that started. I don't think that's the case at all.
Because the president did reference that tonight, so we are unsure then tonight exactly how this took place.
Yes, we are. There are a number of rumors out there, and they're all possibilities, but so far, we don't have any indication at all that it's a lightning strike or that it's a loss of a power plant in New York City or any other rumor that might have heard. We just don't know yet, but we will. We'll find out what happened, and we'll find out if we need to change our rules to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Now, in terms of what you do, how long does it take, do you think, to come to some kind of understanding of how this occurred?
Well, I think we'll have some preliminary understanding of what happened over the weekend. I'm hoping that I can put together a team to do some of this over the weekend. I think we have to move very, very quickly, not because we're going to lose any data, but because people want to know and they deserve to know.
All right. Thank you, sir. Michael Gent, President and CEO of the North American Electric Reliability Council. It's an organization that monitors the electrical system in the U.S. They will begin with other organizations as well, putting together information, hopefully, as you said, over the weekend, to get a better idea of how the situation occurred.
CBS News Update, I'm Bill Fitka. In the dark, a massive blackout overruns the Northeast, Midwest, and Canada. And President Bush, a little over an hour ago, speaking out for the first time, saying it was not terrorism, but it will take time to restore electricity.
In my judgment, millions of people's lives are affected. I fully understand that their lives will not be normal for the short run, and hope that they continue to cope with this in a manner that they have done so far.
Talking at San Diego, the president said everything that can be done is being done.
In my judgment, the governors and mayors of the affected states and cities have responded very well. We've offered all the help they need to help people cope with this blackout. And they've, to this moment, have said they've got the resources necessary to handle it. The emergency preparedness teams at the local level and the state level are responding very well.
The blackout snarled traffic, shut down transportation and cell phone networks. In New York City, a picture repeated across other powerless cities, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, Hartford, Lansing, Michigan, Toronto, and Ottawa. Tens of thousands of people poured into the streets. But New York may have been hardest hit. Without subways or trains, buses in gridlock, no traffic lights, there was a commuting ordeal. Mayor Michael Bloomberg said some of the city is getting electricity back.
Power continues to come on in different sections of the city. There are parts of Brooklyn and parts of Queens that are already back, bigger parts of the Bronx. Queens is particularly important to us because there's a lot of generating capacity in Queens, which can only get up if Queens is back online.
Power has to be brought back in New York and elsewhere slowly, or the grid may crash again. Canadian officials blame a lightning strike at the Niagara Mohawk power grid, but local weather officials say there were no lightning storms in the area at that time, and the cause remains under investigation. CBS News Update, I'm Bill Fitka.
CBS News, I'm Steve Knight. Trying to get the power back on in the Northeast.
Slowly but surely, we're coping with this massive national problem.
President Bush on the massive power outage that plunged New York City, much of the East, and parts of Ontario, Cleveland, and even Detroit into the dark. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is with the president.
Though he's not sure what caused the outages, President Bush says one thing he thinks he can say for certain is that it was not a terrorist act. During a brief exchange with reporters, he said he's confident the power system can get up and running quickly, and then it's time to examine what went wrong with the power grid.
Of course, we'll have time to look at it and determine whether or not our grid needs to be modernized. I happen to think it does, and have said so all along.
As for the response of people in affected areas, Mr. Bush said he's impressed by their calm response. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in San Diego.
New York authorities say it will be several hours before power can be restored. The scene in Detroit, reported by WWJ's Florence Walton.
Darkness everywhere. Street lights are out. Traffic lights are out. People are treating intersections as four-way stop areas. People are lined up outside of a few stores that are open. Store owners are using flashlights, letting them in one at a time so they can purchase necessities.
When the juice went off at 4:11 Eastern Time, many people in New York feared the worst.
Creepy. I'm getting a flashback from September 11th. I don't like this.
I mean, the first thing that hit me was 9/11. I thought something was wrong. I got a little nervous.
This is New York's worst power blackout since 1977. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick from the dark streets of Manhattan.
We have seen some vendors selling sandwiches. Someone just told us that there were some sandwiches available for $14. On one of these street corners, so you don't see a lot of people eating, but there is an ice cream truck over to the side. It's got a line of, looks like several dozen people waiting for ice cream.
There is a dispute between Canada and the U.S. about what caused the outage. The Canadian claim, reported by CFRB's Chris Mavridis in Toronto.
The Prime Minister's office confirming that they have heard from high-ranking hydro officials in the states that this originated on the New York side of Niagara Falls at a power generating station as the result of a lightning strike there.
But the U.S. Weather Service says there was no lightning reported any place closer than Chicago. U.S. power authorities blame the outage on an overloaded power grid. A spokesman for the company that runs the power transmission lines, Mary Pat Blankenheim, says
outages occur all the time on the system. It's transparent to the customer because we have redundancies built into the system, making sure that the lights don't go out. It's our job as operators of that transmission system to reroute the power to ensure that your lights don't go out. In the case of what's happening in the eastern portion of the country, they were helpless. It's just, it got away from them because of how quickly and how significant that power plant was to the system.
This is CBS News.
A notorious filmmaker is dead, and a sexy young starlet is primed to take the fall. To the cops, it's a case of criminal intent. But to San Francisco's hottest defense team, ex-marriage partners, now partners in law, the accused is much more than a client. She's family. Criminal Intent by New York Times best-selling author Sheldon Siegel. Critics say it's got enough intrigue and courtroom drama to please any fan. Criminal Intent in paperback from Signet, and Final Verdict in hardcover from Putnam.
Musicians, buy a guitar, get the amp free. We've tagged free gear in every department. It's Guitar Center's 72-hour free-for-all. Buy any digital multi-track recorder in stock and get a free tube condenser mic, a $1,000 studio mic free. Buy two sets of strings, get eight sets free. Buy a mic, get the stand and cable free. Look for the tags to score free gear. Guitar Center's 72-hour free-for-all. Don't miss it.
The alleged mastermind of the deadly terror bombing in Bali and Jakarta has been captured. An Indonesian known as Hambali, he's said to be the top Al-Qaeda figure in Southeast Asia, and he allegedly has links to 9/11.
This is Stephanie Lambadakis at the Justice Department. Investigators have gathered considerable evidence linking Hambali to possible 9/11 involvement, not just from captured Al-Qaeda operatives like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but other sources who put him in a meeting in Malaysia with two of the 9/11 hijackers.
A California judge says next month's preliminary hearing in the Scott Peterson murder case will be open. CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen says, no surprise.
It would have been shocking and entirely unconstitutional for the judge to have barred the media and the public from the preliminary hearing next month, so it's no surprise that he didn't. These types of hearings in these types of cases in California almost always are open.
Peterson is accused of killing his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son. I'm Steve Knight, CBS News. CBS News Update, I'm Steve Knight. Most of the Northeast and parts of Canada are still without power, but slowly the lights are coming back on. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Power continues to come on in different sections of the city. There are parts of Brooklyn and parts of Queens that are already back.
Parts of Albany and Westchester County in New York are also getting their power back. It can't return soon enough for millions of people.
We were actually trying on my wedding dress, and the lights flashed and then shut down. So there's a little confusion and a little chaos trying to figure out whether it was the building or the block. And then we heard that it was the city.
No word yet on what caused the power outage. Earlier we heard it might have been a lightning strike near Niagara Falls that caused the outage, but U.S. authorities now dispute that Canadian claim.
Broadway is dark. In fact, we just passed one Broadway theater, and they had a sign up in their door, several signs that read, "Tonight's show has been canceled." Of course, we don't know when the lights will come back on, but I guess many of these theaters down in Times Square along Broadway aren't taking any chances. They're closing up.
CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick, WBEN's Tom Puckett, with more on what might have caused the outage.
A National Weather Service meteorologist says there was no lightning anywhere near Western New York, not near Buffalo, not near Niagara Falls, New York, or Niagara Falls, Ontario, for that matter. A meteorologist with the National Weather Service says the closest they could find lightning by using radar and observations was the Chicago area.
CBS News Update, I'm Steve Knight.
CBS News Update, I'm Bill Fitka. If it ran on electricity, it wasn't running and still may not be. A massive power failure casting wide parts of the Northeast, Midwest, and Canada in darkness. President Bush tried to reassure the nation that the power will be back.
The people whose lives have been affected need to know there's a lot of people working to enable them to get on about their lives in a normal way. And hopefully electricity will be stored soon.
More from CBS News correspondent Mark Noller, traveling with the president on a fundraising drive in Southern California.
The president says the response so far from state and local officials has been a good one. He says the federal government has offered all the help they need to help people cope with the blackout. but that so far the state and local government officials are saying they've got all the resources necessary to handle it.
Electricity is coming back in some parts, not fast enough in Buffalo, where they need electricity for water. Tom Puckett of CBS radio affiliate WBEN.
We've just received word from the Erie County Water Authority that because of the power outages at some of the pump stations, the Water Authority is asking customers in some of the southern suburbs to restrict any non-essential water use, watering lawns, washing cars, filling swimming pools, not to do that for the time being.
And it is a sweltering, unair-conditioned night in Detroit. Florence Walton of CBS radio station WWJ.
Darkness everywhere. Street lights are out. Traffic lights are out. People are treating intersections as four-way stop areas. People are lined up outside of a few stores that are open. Store owners are using flashlights, letting them in one at a time so they can purchase necessities.
The blackout was triggered by an overload at the Niagara Mohawk power grid in upstate New York. It had a cascading effect south to Washington, east to Connecticut, west to Ohio and Michigan. It was not terrorism. Canadian officials say it was a lightning strike, but that remains only a possibility. Local weather officials say there were no lightning storms in the area at that time. CBS News Update. I'm Bill Fitka.
CBS News Update. I'm Steve Knight. Slowly, some power is returning in the big blackout in the Northeast.
I've declared a state of emergency.
New York Governor George Pataki, after a massive power outage that originated in New York, shut off power as far north as Ontario, Canada, and as far west as Cleveland. U.S. authorities blame an overloaded power grid. The area went dark at 4:11 Eastern Time this afternoon. Many people in New York City at first suspected terrorism.
The lights started blinking, the train starts. Then all of a sudden all the lights went on. They told us it was an AC failure, then they told us it was a DC failure, then they told us it was a citywide failure.
People started to panic, you know, like we couldn't breathe.
President Bush says the massive blackout was not the work of terrorists.
Confident we can get things up and running as quickly as possible and people's lives will go back to normal.
New York authorities say power is slowly being restored to some areas of New York City and elsewhere in the region. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says it will take several hours to get all the juice back on. The massive effort draws this warning from the head of Detroit's energy utility.
This has to be a very controlled process because the worst thing that could happen would be to go too fast, overload the system, and trip it again and possibly damage equipment.
The blackout stopped air travel at New York's three major airports. By nightfall, Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark were operating normally, but the FAA says the disruption is rippling through the nation's air travel system. CBS News Update, I'm Steve Knight.
Local emergency operations got a test run from today's blackout. The director of the D.C. Emergency Management Agency, Peter LaPorte, says the city put its plan in motion after hearing about the outages. LaPorte says within minutes they were in touch with over 60 agencies. He says they also touched base with New York City officials, the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, and the Office of Personnel Management. You might be asking yourself tonight, how could a blackout cascade across so many cities and states so quickly? Well, you can blame it on something called a power grid. Grids throughout the country interconnect electricity systems and allow power generated in one state to be sent elsewhere. But high or unbalanced demands can upset the system and lead to massive blackouts, and problems can form even when power is restored. The system may not be able to handle a sudden surge in demand, leading to another shutdown. That's why engineers restore power after big blackouts in stages. When the lights do go out, it's up to the media to keep you informed about what's going on. That's not always easy without electricity. Newspapers and hard-hit cities are struggling tonight still to put out their smaller editions. The New York Times, for example, lost the use of one printing plant in Queens, but plans a double run at a New Jersey plant overnight. In Cleveland, the Plain Dealer lost all power, so reporters and editors were sent to Akron to use press there. The Detroit News is doing the same thing by heading to Battle Creek, Michigan. TV networks have managed to stay on the air for the most part with backup generators.